Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Look, I read an article not long ago about really wealthy people. Primarily, it was about athletes that had earned a lot of money and then they just lost it all. They just wasted it all. And some of these, I know you're going to know them. How do you remember Mike Tyson? Come on. Yeah, these you young people don't know who Mike Tyson is. Come on, if you old in here, give it up if you know who Mike Tyson is. All right. Mike Tyson is probably the greatest boxer that has ever lived. Actually, he's the greatest fighter. I mean, he had a knockout punch. You didn't want to mess with that, all right? Mike Tyson, in his career, earned over $400 million. Everybody say, woo! That's a lot of money right there. Listen, he spent $2 million one time on just a bathtub alone. I mean, you know, that's stupid right there. Come on. Now he's broke. He lost it all. He's tried to do some movies. That was a huge flop. He's had to file bankruptcy, and he lost it all. Isn't that ridiculous, right? How about this? You guys ever heard of Allen Iverson? Come on, basketball fans in the house. Yeah, everybody's heard of AI, right? Okay, he earned over $200 million in his lifetime. In 2015, he had to file bankruptcy. And when he filed bankruptcy, he owned one jeweler alone. He liked to spend money on jewelry, right? He owed one jeweler alone, just one, over $1 million. He's wasted it all, and he absolutely has nothing. Warren Sapp played football in the NFL. He was an incredible defensive player, right? He had four kids out of wedlock. He actually ended up selling his Super Bowl ring and his national championship ring that he played with the Hurricanes, right, to try to pay off some of his debt. Now he's $7 million in debt after making some $80 million in his NFL career. Okay, now, I know what happens when I share little thoughts like that. At least it happened to me when I read that article. It's like, man, if I were rich, I'd have done a better job handling all that money. I mean, if you feel like you could do a better job with all that money than they did. Like, man, they just completely wasted it. I think if I were rich, I could do a better job of being rich. I want you to look at this verse. It's going to be on the screen. It's in 1 Timothy. It says, tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone, but their pride and trust should be in the living God. He always richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. I read this verse and you probably think, man, those rich people, they needed this verse. How many of you know some rich people that could use that verse right there? They need to know that God has some things to say to rich people. You know, the word of God speaks to different people. Maybe you're in here and you're single. And the word of God has some information for you, has some great tips and promises and encouragement for you. Those of you that are married, the word of God has some specific things to say to married couples, and those of you who are here today and you're struggling with something financially, God, his word has things to say to you about that as well. If you're not married yet, God, and you're a child, maybe you're still living at home, God's word has some specific things to say to you. And God's word has some specific things to say even to rich people as well. How many of you here say, I'm tall? Come on, raise your hand if you're tall in here, all right? Come on. How many of you say, I'm kind of short? Come on, raise your hand if you feel like you're kind of short. Yeah, short people, they loud. And they're like, yeah, woo. How many of you say, I'm athletic, man? Come on, I'm a baller. Come on, let me see. Yeah, all right. How many of you say, I'm real smart? Come on, I'm headsy. Come on, I'm a brainiac. Come on, let me see the brainiacs. Yeah. All right, let's see if we can do this. How many of you, because the shy people don't like to do this. How many of you say, I'm shy? Come on. Come on, raise your hand, shy people. There you go. Why don't you point to somebody in here that you know is shy? Come on, point to them, because they're not going to raise their hands. All right. How many of you here say, You know what? I'm super rich. I'm like fat. I'm wealthy. I just got it going on. All right. Let's see. I think I saw one guy over here, Pastor Drew, raise his hand. You need to talk to him after service. All right. He's part of the vision builders right there. Okay. You need to make sure you talk to him. All right. So I read this verse in 1 Timothy, and it says, tell those who are rich. Everybody say rich. That's a fun word to say, isn't it? You read that verse, you must ask yourself this question. Who is the Bible talking to? All right, I don't know if you know this, but the Bible actually is read in other places besides America. It's true. So that means we contextualize it. I mean, we do. We put God in our own world. Nothing wrong with that, because you have needs and issues and things you need God to speak to. And we contextualize God to our own world. But if you would zoom out a little bit, you might realize that the Bible is speaking to people besides just those here in San Diego, living in our own world. In fact, did you know this, that only 3% of the world's population actually even owns a car? I mean, we think that to be crazy, but if you zoom out and you look on the world itself, only 3%. If you earn $45,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the entire world. That means San Diego, that's you. You are the top 1% of people in the world. Now, I want you to think for just a moment with me, all right? Track with me here. Our church, we do a lot of missions work around the world. Zimbabwe, southern part of the continent of Africa, is a country we do a lot of work. We got somebody from Zimbabwe over here. Come on, I heard y'all like shouting it out over there. All right. Okay, so we help a lot of kids. There's a lot of AIDS orphans in Zimbabwe. And so we do a lot of work there. And it's a really difficult place to live. Very poor, all right? 95% unemployment right there. Okay, just imagine with me, if I were to go and I were to pull out one of the people there in Zimbabwe and come and drop them right here in San Diego, imagine what they might think. I bet they would say things like, man, these people are so stinking rich. They have so much money, they actually have houses that they use to take care of their money. They call it a bank or something or another. But they got so much money, they have to put it somewhere to take care of it. They say they make so much money. These people are so rich. They actually hire counselors to tell them what to do with their money because they know they're going to have a bunch of it left over when they die, and they need to know what to do with it. That's how rich they are. Think about this, C3. They actually would say, these people are so rich. They actually hire people to cook their food. They call them restaurants or some kind of a something or another. And that's how wealthy these people are. They actually have jobs. And they make so much money, their employers actually tell them to not even come to work, and they pay them for it. It's called vacation or something. That's how rich these people are. Think about it. They would say something like, these people are so rich, they actually own a car. Okay, first of all. And not only do they own a car, but they actually have houses where they store their cars. They call them garages. And it's a house just for their car. And some of these people are so rich, they actually have two cars and they have two houses for their garage. And some of them are like really rich. And they have three houses for their cars. Two of them where they park their cars and one of them to store all their junk. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? How many of you got the three-car garage? Come on, yeah, all right, yeah. You're storing your junk in there, all right. And then some of them would say, or this person from Zimbabwe would probably say something like, man, they're so rich. Think about it. These people are so rich. They have rooms in their house, and no one even lives in that room. They call it a guest bedroom. Think about it. And then they would go on to describe it, and they would say, listen, these women there, they're so rich. They have rooms in their house to store their clothes. They call them closets. Come on, ladies. Like walk-in rooms. They call them walk-in closets. These women in America are so rich. And when you walk into their closet, there's clothes stacked everywhere. Shoes, clothes. They could never even wear all of those things. And some of those rich women in America, they walk into their rooms with clothes sometimes, and they look at all of that and they say,
I got nothing to wear.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, you guys, you tracking with me all of a sudden. Everybody's with me, okay? All right, you see this right here? Here's a couple of dollar bills, okay? Look, I threw this on the platform and no one moved. I think I saw somebody over here flinch a little bit, but that's about it. Okay, think about this. You didn't even bother, even be concerned that there are $2 sitting right here. Yet, listen to this. That represents what more than 3 billion people on this planet work for every day in wages. Okay, have we zoomed out far enough? You guys tracking with me right now? So the truth is, C3, we are rich. God has radically blessed us, and he has chosen us to live in this country, to be involved in this great church for a particular reason. And I think it's easy when you say, tell those people who are rich to think of somebody, man, if Bill Gates were here, that brother needs it, right? If someone like that were here, I would like to tell them that they're rich. But the truth is, C3, that we are extremely blessed. Come on, give God some praise because we are blessed. All right. So here's what I want to spend my time. Now that I've set that up for you, and I hope that you have a revelation and understanding that we truly are rich and we are blessed. How can we be smart with our money? I'm titling this message today called Smart Money. And actually, your money doesn't have a brain. You just need to be smart with your money, all right? Your money only goes and does what you tell it to do and where you tell it to go. So we need to be smart with our money. So if we're going to be smart with our money, would you write this down? I will trade spending my money. You guys putting that on the screen? Do you guys have that? I will trade spending my money for investing my money. Okay, so write that down. I will trade spending my money for investing my money. All right, we're going to go back to this verse in 1 Timothy. I'm going to read several verses, and then I'm going to teach out of it for a few moments. Okay, you guys ready? Oh, you have it right here. Okay. Let's read this back in 1 Timothy 6. Tell those who are rich. Come on, say rich one more time.
Rich.
That's us. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Tell those who are rich, don't be proud, not to trust your money. It'll soon be gone. But their pride and their trust should be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Everybody say enjoyment. So tell them in verse 18 to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works, and they should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. And that by doing this, they will be storing up real treasures for themselves in heaven. Everybody say heaven.
Heaven.
It is the only, look at this, safe investment for eternity.
Right.
And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Okay. If I'm going to trade spending my money and I'm going to start investing my money, what are some truths that I need to know? Would you write this down? I need to trust God first. It would be a huge disservice as a man preaching the word of God, talking to you about how to be smart with your money, if I didn't lead off with telling you, you must put God first in your finances. Notice it says there, back in that verse, I don't want to read it again, but it says, don't trust your money, but your trust should be in the living God. Come on, our God's not dead. Are you thankful, C3? Come on, he's alive. Which means if he has the power over death and hell, then he sure has the power to take care of your financial problem that you're in. All right? He's not worried. He's not concerned. He's not struggling financially. He's not, bro, I need your money. He doesn't need your money. You need to honor God with your money because he's the only one that can multiply it anyway. Come on, C3. Give God some praise for that. So Deuteronomy, it says this. I want to piggyback a little bit on your Malachi 3 verse, right? It says in Deuteronomy, the purpose of tithing, everybody say tithing. Okay, this is simply a biblical term, which you explained very well, is giving God the very first 10% of your income. All right? It isn't just giving God any 10% of your income. It's giving God the first 10% of your income. There's something about honoring God first in your life that causes everything else to be blessed. All right? That's the purpose of tithing. Look at it. It says to teach you always to put God first in your lives. This is most definitely a financial principle, but please, whatever you do, don't limit it to a financial principle, because this is way bigger than just that. This is true in your family. This is true in your time. This is true of every area in your life. The principle of tithing is just simply giving God first. That means when you wake up in the morning, you know what's the first thing you ought to do? Good morning, God. I'm going to give you my first 10%. Look, don't open up Twitter feed. Don't go on Instagram. Young people, don't go on Snapchat. That's not the first thing you need to get involved in your life. The first thing you do is say, good morning, God. Sit down, grab your flat white. Come on, Drew. Grab your coffee and sit down and give God the very first part of your day. Because chances are there's going to be things that are facing you that day that you may not even be aware of, or maybe that you are aware of, and you need God's wisdom. And so the best thing you could do is don't start strategizing on your day. Sit down with the God who knows your day. He's already been there, and he knows what's facing you. And C3, if you'll meet with him, then he'll give you wisdom on how to handle that day. Give God the first part of your day. That's true in your finances as well. How does God take 90% and make it go better than the 100%? It's called God math. It doesn't make sense. One day when you get to heaven, you're going to go, oh, I see. God takes what you give him and he multiplies the rest and makes it better than if you kept it all yourself. So when you honor God by giving him the first, Amy and I have been doing this since we got married. The first check that we write, or in this case, the first deposit that is sent out is to God. We give it to the church. It's the very first 10%. In fact, our church, we do prayer and fasting. I know you guys, you did feast and prayer instead of fasting and prayer. You did that a couple years ago. I want to be a part of this church because we do prayer and fasting. I want to do prayer and feasting. Okay, I like that a lot better. Why do you do that in January? Because it's a principle of tithe. You give God the first part of the year and he blesses the rest. Okay, you guys tracking with me, right? I believe there is a direct correlation between your heart and what's first and priority in your life. It's just the reality of it. Imagine if I went to my wife and I said, look, babe, there's what, 3.5 billion women on the planet. Okay, and of all of the women on the planet, you're like number 3. How many of y'all know we wouldn't have made it 25 years, right? Because she has my heart, I give her first. I'm more concerned about her than our children, and especially any other woman on this planet. Why? Because she has my heart. If God has your heart, then you'll give him first. It is truly that simple, all right? So look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians. It says, you people there are leaders in so many ways. You have so much faith, so many good preachers. Come on, give it up for your preachers here at C3 Church, yeah. You guys have some incredible communicators here, all right? You have so much learning and so much enthusiasm. Look, so much love for us. Now I want you to be leaders also in this spirit of cheerful giving. And not just giving, by the way, cheerful. Come on, everybody smile. Come on, it's a blessing that we get to give God the first part. Verse 8 goes on to say, I'm not giving you this as an order. Look, I'm not telling you have to do it because it's about heart. Everybody say heart. You don't have to, you get to. Then it goes on to say, this is the one way to prove that your love is real. It goes beyond mere words. At some point in time, you are going to have to make a decision to put God first in your life. And I mean in entirety. God's, you've heard it said before. This is a great preacher comment. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So he has to be Lord of all of your life. That includes your finances. And is that a faith statement? Absolutely. But you can only please God when you live in faith. It takes faith to do that. And look, this idea of you understanding its heart, I would tell you is more important than anything else. Because when you get this in your heart, knowing how much God is for you, you want to put him first. This is way more important. I don't want to guilt you into anything. Guilt is not going to change your life. You've probably seen it before, watching TV or something. You see this commercial with these sad little puppy dogs, right? You've seen those commercials, right? You're like, oh, and you feel so guilty and you want to give money. If you did, it wouldn't change your life. You would just do it out of guilt. But it didn't change who you are as a person. This is more important than guilt, C3. This is a heart issue. Look, this is more important than even awareness. You ever been to an event before with some incredible organization that's doing great things and you go, wow, I didn't know they were making a difference in human trafficking or whatever it is. You go, wow, I didn't know that. And maybe you give some money to it. That's awareness, but that is not your heart. It hasn't made you a new person. See, when God has your heart, then you don't need guilt and you don't need awareness. You're just obedient to whatever he wants you to do. I'm gonna tell y'all what, I'm preaching a lot better than this. I'm gonna tell you right now. Look, here's what you need to know. You're rich, okay. And so God has blessed you not so you can be a consumer, but so you can be a contributor. I mean, you think about it. You happen to be living in probably financially one of the greatest times we've ever been in America. It just so happens the economy is booming right now, okay? So that means you're living in America, okay, an incredible country. I think this is the greatest country on earth. How many of you are thankful for America? Yeah. Like politicians or not, has nothing to do with it. This is America, and I'm for this country, and I believe God is going to use this country to do something great in the world in Jesus' name. Amen? So why did God choose you to live here and to be here during this time in life? Because he wants you to understand you're blessed so that you can be a blessing, not just for yourself. Notice back in this verse, 1 Timothy, it says God does all of this for your enjoyment. He wants you to love it. He wants you to enjoy life. God is not mad at you. I tell you, he's madly in love with you. But in America, we don't realize that we're here and we're so blessed so that we can actually be contributors. We think we're supposed to be consumers. Listen to this stat. The average Christian in America gives 2% of their income to God. 2%. 98% of their income goes to worldly things. Not that they're bad. I mean, houses and cars and clothes. Okay, I'm not against those things. But just think about it for a second. 2% goes to the Lord. 98% goes to worldly things. No wonder we're always wanting more of the world and we're never satisfied with God. Because we're not giving him what is due and what is him. Okay, so you got to trust God first. And you have to start there. Second thing you need to understand is you have to be a good manager. You have to be a good manager of what God has given you. So let's go back to 1 Timothy. We're going to read verse 18. It says, tell them to use. I want you to write that in your notes as well. Paul is telling Timothy here how to handle or manage your money. Here's what you are to do with it. You are to use your money to do good. They should be rich in good works and give happily to those in need, always ready to share with others whatever God has given them. Use. Everybody say that word with me. Say use. So that simply means that there are things that we need to be managing our money in light of. All right? So look at Proverbs 21. Let me give you this verse. It says, the house of the wise. What do? They save for the future, but the foolish person spends whatever they get. All right, so Amy and I have been married for 25 years now. And my wife is an incredible cook. All right? When we were dating, I'm a Cajun, so I like to eat. I eat stuff out of ditches, okay? And we call it, you know, food. All right, it's crawfish. Anybody here ever had crawfish? Yeah. All right, come on. There's a real cultured people around here, all right? My wife loves to cook, and she has my heart, and she's a great baker as well. She loves to bake cookies. Anybody here love some chocolate chip cookies? All right, look, I'm going to bless you. Look, you really love some chocolate chip cookies. That girl's standing up like she had a God moment. Woo, thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay, well, you're going to want to try this. Okay, you're going to want to try this. My wife makes chocolate chip cookies with oatmeal in them, and then she puts grape nut cereal in them. Don't even till you try it. Okay, it gives a little crunchy, makes you feel like it's healthy so you can eat more. Come on, that'll bless you. You try it, I promise you're going to be like, oh, angels are going to be singing. It's going to be great. My problem is, though, is I like eating the dough. Come on, we have any people here want to eat the dough? I'm serious, man. She's making them, and I'm just in there just going for it, right? And she's like, you're not going to have any cookies when they come out of the oven. I was like, I don't care. I'll eat my share in dough. And then when the cookies come out, I'm mad because I've eaten all my share in dough, right? There's nothing left for me, right? I believe in the financial sense that we consume all the dough and we forget that later on there might be some opportunities. And we have consumed it all on ourselves because we haven't managed it well. Therefore, when opportunity comes, we're not ready for it. When there's build the vision, you don't have any room in your finances because you have consumed it all on yourself. When some opportunity to help a missionary, help somebody hurting, or your pastors, they stand up here and they say, look, there's a need in this community. Let's help them. You're like, man, we can't do it. We just don't have it because you're consuming all the dough. You're not managing what God has blessed you with. Come on, y'all give God some praise for that. That's right. All right, but notice in this verse, it says in the house of the wise. It didn't say in the house of people with two incomes. It didn't say in the house where they have six-figure income. It didn't say that. That means all of us can be wise. That means all of us can have that. So look, people ask me all the time, Pastor Randy, would you help me? I want to be blessed. I want God's blessings in my life. I need, would you give me the secret to it? Okay, I'm going to give you guys an insider trading tip. Are you ready? Okay, these are the two eternal questions that you're going to get when you pass on from this life and you go to heaven. All right, you ready? I'm going to give you the questions that God's going to ask you, and I'm going to give you the answers. You ready? When you die and you stand before God, here's the two questions. The first one is, what'd you do with Jesus? Were you a Christ follower? Not, hey, I attended church. I was a member at C3. I went through the growth track. No, that's not the question. Did you know who Jesus was? Did you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, forgiving all your sins, realizing he paid the price on the cross? Jesus died with your sins, C3, so that you could be free and in heaven and spend eternity with God. So what did you do with Jesus? Did you make him the Lord, the priority in your life? That's the first question. And by the way, if you don't get the first one right, you don't even get a second question, okay? So if you don't get that one right, I'm going to give you a chance later on in the service to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, okay? All right. But if you don't get that one right, forget question two, okay? So make sure you get one right. Here's number two. Second one is, what did you do with the stuff I gave you? And by the way, this is not a matter of heaven and hell. This question is a matter of the rewards that you get when you get to heaven. How did you manage what I gave you on this earth? Did you live it with eternity in mind? Because here's what I believe. We're going to get to heaven, and it's going to be a gazillion years from when we go on to heaven and we're living in eternity. We're going to look back on this earth, and we're going to go, I wish I would have done more. And you can. It's how you manage your finances. Will you be a wise or will you be a person that is not so wise? You know, I think it's very important that you get this, that your pastors, Juergen and Leanne, 15 years ago or 13 years ago, they made a decision to move here to San Diego from New Zealand, from Australia, to come and start this church. Okay, and if they had not managed their money, if they were not wise with it, they would have not been financially ready to come here and take a leap of faith. They would have said, God, I really, it's in my heart. Yeah, God, I want to do it. But we can't. I mean, look at our finances. God, we can't do it. So you know what? God would have picked someone else. Oh, C3 would still exist, but Juergen and Leanne would not be your pastors. See, God is going to continue to do what he wants to do on this earth. He's just looking for somebody to use it, and the wise is the person that he uses. So at the end of it, you either going to be on the roll or you're not going to be on the roll. Come on, church, give God some praise for that. So what are you going to do with it? You got to be wise. All right, last thing I want to give, we're going to wrap this up, okay, is fruitful living. Come on, write that down. First, we have to trust God first, be good managers. And this really is what the Bible was describing fruitful living. We're going to read one more verse back in 1 Timothy 6:19. And it says, by doing this, okay, well, what is it referring to? By trusting God first. By honoring him, giving him the first part of all of your life, your finances, your time, by doing this, by putting God first, and then by being wise, by managing what you do have, using your money to help others. Don't spend it all on yourself, but use it for opportunities when God brings them. By doing this, we will be storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And look at this, we'll be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Let me close with this story. I read this story and it shocked me because this story is going to help you live your life with legacy in mind. There's a man named Alfred Nobel. Perhaps you've heard of him. Here's how you probably know him. You've heard of the Nobel Prizes, right? All right, he lived in the mid to late 1800s. Okay, Alfred Nobel, he actually invented dynamite. And I'm not talking about, you know, JJ, all right? Dynamite. How many of y'all remember JJ? Come on. Old people, raise your hand. Good times, yeah. Young people, you guys don't even know, man. That was the greatest show ever. All right, Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. And so his brother, Alfred's brother, died. And the newspaper is like your Twitter feed, but it's printed, okay? So that's kind of, all right, that's kind of what it is. Okay, newspaper, all right? That's how we used to get the news every day, all right? So the newspaper decided to run the obituary for Alfred's brother. But actually, the newspaper made a mistake, and they thought it was Alfred that died and not his brother. So Alfred wakes up to read his brother's obituary, and he reads his own obituary. That's not something that we all get to have, right? While you're still alive, you get to see what people are going to say about you. Wouldn't that be so cool? Because then you would know, am I doing a good job or not? Here's what the newspaper said. They said, this is the man who made it possible to kill more people more quickly than anyone who's ever lived. That was his eulogy. That was on his epitaph. That's what he was going to be known for. Awful, right? He had an epiphany. That's not how I want to be remembered. So he started taking all of his money and amassing it aside so that when he died, he could start this foundation, the Nobel Foundation, to fund all these prizes. Okay, he left. When he died, he left in today's dollars $265 million. And they're still funding all of these every day. If you win a Nobel Prize, you get like a little over $1 million for doing that. And he's funding all of that. He changed his legacy, did he not?
Yes.
Totally changed it. Look, you have the ability today to think about your life when it's over. And what is it going to be like? You can change it right now. I've never noticed or never known people to be mourned that were people that were selfish. I've never heard people sitting around, you know, eating potato salad right after the funeral's over, right? Because they all going to be doing that after you're gone as well. They're going to be eating potato salad or whatever it is, talking about your life. And people who are most mourned are not those who, like, man, they don't say things like, "Woo, man, she dressed really awesome. What a great legacy to leave," right? That dude drove a really nice car. Man, they took some incredible vacations. You know who's extremely mourned? Those who made a difference in other people's lives. That's the only safe investment for eternity. So how do you do that? First and foremost, you honor God and give him first, because the church is the only hope for this world. So you will make a difference in people's lives and you'll be greatly mourned. Your legacy will be incredible. In fact, it'll be eternal if you choose to honor God first. And then manage what you have really well, so when opportunity comes, you see somebody with a need, you can stop and say, "Here, I just wanted to bless you with it." And you will be incredibly mourned. Your legacy will be something that will live on and on and on and on. Now, I want you to go back to this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says that when you live this way, that is fruitful Christian living. Would you take a moment and write the word fruitful in your notes? Because this word fruitful in the Greek language, which is the New Testament, it actually means enjoyment beyond comprehension. In other words, you can't comprehend it. You can only experience it. If you want to have this kind of legacy, you're not going to get it here. You're going to have to live it out and you're going to go, "Wow, that's the most fruitful, most enjoyable thing I've ever done by living my life in light of how God wants me to live it." C3, that's the way to do it.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.